All right, Oklahoma City's in town. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think this is the number one Canadian going. I mean, his stats would indicate that. But we just had Jamal Murray in town. We got a lot of Canadians in the tournament, but Shai is a beast. He's an absolute beast. And he's down at Scotiabank tonight. Let's head down there. Here's our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg. What kind of buzz do you expect with Shai in town tonight, J. Lou?
Well, people are excited, it seems like. It's been a little while since he's been in the building. And, I mean, that was especially the case for Jamal Murray the other night. It's the first time that he played here since 2018 because of course, the ACL injury and then the pandemic and all of that. And he probably shouldn't even play the other night just based on how his knee looked. It looked like he was hobbling around a little bit. Didn't look like himself, but he was, of course, saying before the game, we heard from Mike Malone that he wasn't going to miss this one. I'm sure that Shai has had it circled on his calendar as well. I agree with you. I don't even think it's especially close right now in terms of who the best Canadian is in the NBA. Jamal Murray obviously was that guy a couple of years ago before getting hurt. And it's been great to see him back playing this year and for the most part, relatively healthy. I think he's getting closer to peak form, but until he's at that level, and who knows when he will be at that level, I mean, Shai is just, he's been dominant this year, and what he's doing, especially for a team that everyone figured would be at the bottom of the standings with some of the aggressive tankers in the league, I mean, they're right there in the playoff conversation in the Western Conference, and there are a lot of reasons for that. Like, I think they've got an interesting young team. It's not a bad franchise to be moving forward with all the cap space and all the picks that they have, but let's face it, a lot of that is Shai and the season that he's having. He's been great, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him live and in person tonight.
Speaking of kind of anointing certain people as the best, OG Anunoby, how good is his case to be the defensive player of the year, and is it even more impressive with the fact that we now know he's been playing through some hand issues all year?
Yeah, I mean, the offense, I think, is probably more reflect the injuries a little bit more, the kind of up and down season that he's had on that end, the shooting and the numbers, although it has kind of peaked a little bit recently. He's been much better, but defensively he's been remarkably consistent all year long. Of course, the biggest thing with OG is usually the availability, durability being out there, and with the exception of that hand injury that kept him out for 14 games, he's been healthy this year, and I think all of that success that he's had defensively over the last couple of years, it's been easier to see now that he's been on the floor every night. And what makes him so unique as a defender, not necessarily that he's the guy, the lockdown defender that's out there every night defending the other team's best player, because there are a lot of guys like that in the NBA, but the fact that he's able to do it every night, regardless of what position the other team's best player plays, is pretty impressive. And we've seen that over this stretch recently. Over the last seven games, he's been the primary defender on DeRozan, Beal a couple times, Jokic a couple times, Anthony Davis, like Kawhi Leonard, and then tonight we'll see if he's on Shai. I wouldn't be surprised if he is. And the thing is, not only is he doing it, but he's doing it really well. He's had success. You're not going to stop those players. They're just too good. But the goal, obviously, is to challenge them as much as possible, get them off of their spots, and try to limit their shots and their touches, and OG has done a remarkable job of that. I mean, especially against the bigs. And I know he'll tell you, and I asked him this question the other day, where are you more comfortable defending? He'll tell you that that's on the perimeter, but for a guy that's listed at only 6'7", giving up a lot of height, size to some of these bigs, he's done a really good job on Jokic. He did a really good job on Anthony Davis in LA. In terms of his chances, it's interesting because I think a lot of it is going to come down to team success, team record, as it usually does at the end of the year, as it did in All-Star voting as well. Rightly or wrongly, you can make the argument that a great defensive player is a great defensive player. But if you look at the history, and I've done that, I'm writing a story on this to be out tomorrow, it's been a long time, I think since 1819, when Jrue Holiday made NBA All-Defense, since a player on a losing team, a player on a team that has below average defense, that they've made NBA all defense. And right now that's where the Raptors are, three games under 500. They're the 17th ranked defense. So there isn't a ton of recent precedent for it, but I do think just based on the resume and the reputation that OG is a really good shot here. At least he should.
With Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter, wraps OKC tonight. So Ben Taylor's in the house. Step aside, everyone else. Ben Taylor, Fred VanVleet's guy, his favorite ref, his favorite official is officiating the game tonight. If you're not aware of this, this is the guy who was in the crosshairs of Fred about a week ago where Fred had to chew on 30 grand because he absolutely destroyed him publicly. Destroyed him publicly. What is the conversation coming out of the Raptors camp? What do you expect to see from Fred tonight, or what do you think he'll say about it before the game, after the game? Because this is certainly something to watch for. There's no way Taylor can like the comments from Fred, and we were talking about this last hour, Josh. These are humans. There's a chance they really dislike each other, like really, really don't like each other, and there's no way those comments helped. So how do you see this relationship playing out tonight?
Well, I would hope it doesn't impact the game tangibly, right? Like, there are going to be a lot of eyes on this game around the league. The NBA is going to be keeping close watch on it, and those two in particular, given the history and what happened last week. So I would imagine that they'll be on their best behavior, but I agree. Like, it's something to watch for sure, because there is a history there. Taylor, up to tonight, has officiated 6 Raptors games this season, and 5 of VanVleet's 8 technical fouls have come from those 6 games. So there's a history there, and then the comments last week mentioning Taylor directly, very specifically by name. So it's fresh too, right? Like, that just happened a week ago. So I would hope that they'd have some kind of conversation to maybe clear the air before the game. I think that could go a long way. It doesn't have to be anything thorough, even if it's just, hey, nothing personal, let's move on. But I agree with you. Even that could be tough, given how fresh everything is and how much those two probably dislike each other at this point. I can't say I blame them.
No, like Taylor, he's really got to dislike Fred.
I wonder what the record is for the earliest refs you suck chant in this building. It might happen before tip off.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's got it. Like, I don't know how many of the fans know what's going on with the refs and the officiating. I don't know. Yeah. But like the media, you guys are going to be all over it. Like, Nurse is going to have to talk on it. And like, I wonder what the NBA is thinking. This is probably worth circling if you're the NBA office, aren't you, Josh? Like, making sure that everything's on the up and up, because something gets crazier if, like Noodle said earlier, Fred gets teed up for anything tonight. That's immediately under the spotlight. Like, what happened, and how can it not correlate to what was said a week ago?
Knowing the Raptors' luck, I'm fully expecting the play-in game to come in a month from now, and it's going to be Ben Taylor, Scott Foster, and like Ed Malloy or something officiating that game.
Right.
The NBA will make sure of it, believe me.
Yes, they will.
Josh, are you concerned the recent dip of Siakam's production?
A little bit, yeah. It's been unusual because the free throws, I think, are the thing that stand out to me, and that's not an officiating thing. That's, he's not being as aggressive and assertive as he needs to be and as he usually is, which is noticeable. But, yeah, I think when you look at the numbers, and his usage rate is down a little bit since the Jakob-Pertl trade, which makes some sense, right? Like, they've got this new piece. They're utilizing him. Him and VanVleet are running more pick and rolls, and the ball has been in Scotty Barnes' hands more, especially late in games. So Siakam made reference to that a few days ago, that he's kind of trying to find his way in this new offense a little bit. But that's something he needs to do, and he needs to do it fast, because he's too good to not find a way to make an impact on the game. He's too good not to get to the free throw line. And yeah, I mean, it's a shame too, because up until recently, he's been the most consistent part of an otherwise inconsistent team and an inconsistent season. But it's like the inverse of VanVleet's season, right? Where like Fred got off to that slow start. Now he's been great recently, and Siakam was doing the opposite. And I think that's one of the things that's really hurt this team this season, is I could probably count on like two hands, maybe even one hand, how many games those two have both been great, and those two have both been efficient in the same game this year. It really hasn't happened that much. It seems like it's one or the other.
All right, Josh, we'll leave it there. Enjoy it tonight, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys, take care.
Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter. And you look at it, this is a big game for both teams. The Raps are, what do they got, 13 games left? They're a game and a half ahead of Chicago, so they're only a game and a half into the play-in right now. And Oklahoma City's only a game up on Utah in terms of the play-in in the Western Conference. So big implications.
Dude, who's coming out of the West? Like, Denver is struggling. They have a hard time winning on the road. They're below. They're a first-place team, and they're below 500 on the road. Then you go down from there, like, I know we joke around about Sacramento, but like let's be honest, is Sacramento a real, like, they're third place right now, but are they a real team?
I don't know, man. But you're right. Like, they, you know what they have been? Quiet and consistent.
Right.
Which is a good thing when you consider what's going on out West, because like Denver's been they've been consistent as well. Memphis, I don't know what happens when you bring Morant back. Because I don't know where he's at.
No,
I don't know
kidding.
Where his headspace is at. They've been really good without him. Phoenix is still like a petri dish. Like, they're trying to figure out what they are.
Is Durant still hurt?
Yes, he's still banged up.
Yeah, so
the Clippers, I don't know. Golden State lost again on the road last night. They cannot win on the road. They're 7-27 on the road.
There's nothing that really sticks out there as far as that's the team that's going to grab it.
No, that's why the Lakers continue to get the attention they get.
They keep getting it every time
you turn on
NBA Today or one of the ESPN shows. Someone is saying, watch out for the Lakers.
Watch out. If they get
in. I like their chances
if they get in. If LeBron is healthy, Street Clothes is healthy, D'Angelo Russell's back.
Do you know
back.
How many contingencies that is?
That's why I don't believe that it will happen. I don't have faith the Lakers can stay healthy enough to get through four rounds and actually win an NBA championship, but someone's got to do it out West. Someone's got to be there.
Yeah, it's amazing the road records on all these teams. Hey, like a lot of the good teams struggle in the NBA. And the Raptors, like if the Raptors were closer to 500 on the road, they're in the mix.
Yeah.
Like they're a much better team.
They've been abysmal on the road. Like that roadie they just went on was that really hurt them.
Luckily for them, Washington lost three in a row at the exact same time.
Yep. But even you look at the East, like Milwaukee every day looks better and better. Giannis is back to MVP mode. Like, and if they're getting healthier, like Middleton's been out a lot. Holiday's been hurt at times. Like, if they get healthy and they're chugging, I think that's probably your favorite to win the NBA championship this year. But who knows?
It's not as defined this year. That's what it is, parity.
Mm-hmm.
You could, you know, there's 5 to 6, maybe 8 teams that you think could win it if the stars align, like if everything works out.
Yeah,
and it feels like now Embiid is picking up a ton of steam. Like we were just talking during the break here with Arad. Doesn't it feel like Embiid is basically going to be the MVP now?
It feels like that's where it's like the NBA is such a narrative-driven league. Like, LeBron versus Jordan has been played out more than any other sports debate I can think of.
It's still going, man.
And it's never going to stop.
No.
It'll be going on for 15 years, 20 years after LeBron retires. It'll still be coming up. And now you get this situation with Jokic and the blowback on voting for him and him being a three-peat winner where that LeBron never had that, MJ never had that.
What is it, Larry Bird? Was that the last time
Last time was Larry Bird. It's only been, I think, Bird, Wilt, and Bill Russell. I think they're the only three guys to win three times in a row.
To bring it back to hockey, we get this voter fatigue with McDavid. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't excel and break the bar that he essentially set for himself, it's like, well, who's having a great year? And Joel Embiid certainly is.
Look what McDavid has to do this to make it definitive.
Exactly.
Like, he needs to be so much better than everyone else where it's not even a question. Like, last year, he had a great year.
Yeah.
He had a great year, but Matthews also had a great year. So, Ty went to the new guy.
Yes.
But what if McDavid next year, instead of getting 150 points, gets 132, and somebody else has, that guy. It's the new kid on the block. Like, That's what it is.
I think that'll happen,
year.
Noodles. I think that's a great example. He could end up with 55 goals, 132 points, which will be a step back, and player X will be on a bad team that got good. He'll have 112 points and 57 goals, and that guy will win.
Yeah.
And that's what happens every year. It's these mental gymnastics about why you vote for someone, why you don't vote for someone, and, you know, voter fatigue is a big part of it. And Jokic, it's not his fault. He's just playing.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't vote. What's he supposed to do? He's just playing.
It feels like it has a little bit of the baseball feel to it. You know, when it comes to baseball voting on certain things, it's like, well, this player in the past didn't get this, so I can't anoint you better than that player by voting for you X many times, right? Like we get that a lot with baseball, whether it's the Hall of Fame or any kind of awards.
Well, exactly. A lot of it's arbitrary. Like why you have to do this? Why everyone does that? You got to be on a playoff team. You got to, whatever it happens to be. And year over year, it can change drastically. It doesn't mean you stop. Like, Daryl Sutter's a great example. He was the coach of the year last year. Now he doesn't know how to coach. Yeah.
They literally want him fired in Calgary. They're saying, terrible coach, terrible this. But you're right. Like, last year was coach of the year. All of a sudden, can't coach this year.
Right, which we know is not true.
Right.
But that's the nature of sports. You know, every year it's a new script. And it's difficult to be consistent all the time.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. All right, the Raps again in action tonight. We'll continue to tee that up. Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.